And now, on to our final segment. This is our weekly farm segment. Correspondent Mark Russo met up with neighboring Berkshire County farmers Michael Gallagher and Ashley Amston of Square Root Farms, where they've operated since 2010.
Hey, this is Mark Russo, WOOC's farm correspondent, and I am joined with Michael Gallagher and Ashley Amston from Square Roots Farm in Landsborough, Massachusetts. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Thanks for joining me. So I, aside from Landsborough, Massachusetts, my first question for you is, where is your farm on the landscape? How big is it? And what's your farm like?
So we have 185 acres. It starts at the top of the ridge, runs down to Old Cheshire Road, crosses the road, and runs all the way down to the Cheshire Reservoir. So it's a hillside farm. It's about two-thirds in woods, and a lot of those woods are steep to very, very steep, and some of them are fairly wet. So we've got about 60 open acres, most of which is pasture. We've grown about 2 acres of vegetables. We're dropping that this year to about 1 acre of vegetables.
In addition to, or more specifically with those vegetables, what do you grow? And or do you grow any animals or people or any other things on your land?
Yeah, so in the past we have produced vegetables for a CSA. This year we're going to grow a more targeted number of vegetables for farmers markets. We also produce pasture-raised chicken, pork, turkey, eggs from pastured hens, and 100% grass-fed beef.
That sounds delicious. When did you start farming and why did you do it?
We started farming in 2010.
Yes.
Yeah. and we started farming on leased land up in Clarksburg. I don't know, why did we start farming?
We both came from teaching backgrounds and we found that work really rewarding, but it wasn't quite hitting the spot.
For me, it was really burnout. I spent 2 years teaching down in Mississippi and feeling like that was really important work and it was really good work and it was really hard work and it wasn't sustainable for me. It wasn't healthy for me. It wasn't sustainable for me and it was, it wasn't working. So I was looking for something that felt more balanced, that felt really directly useful, and where I felt like I could have a real concrete view of the progress that I was making. So that I could have really tangible results.
And farming helps us work on our, you know, values of sustainability and community connection and producing products that contribute to human health. So it kind of hits all those key points for us.
Indeed, that's part of my personal interest in farming is similar. It's such a broad thing that it challenges you in so many ways as an individual and also is so satisfying on so many different really basic levels. So why do you keep it up? It's not easy work. So what keeps you doing it every season?
Part of it is the impact that we can see on our land and on our community. So one of my favorite things to do in the middle of the summer is to walk up to where our meat chickens have run and to look at the path that they've created in the pasture. Where the chicken pens have run, the grass is lush and dark green and gorgeous, and you can sort of see that as stripes standing out against the landscape. So even in just a matter of a few weeks, we can have this really rewarding experience of knowing that the animal impact is improving the land. And, you know, over time, I can't wait to see what happens.
That's so tremendous, too, given the kind of in the media, such a animal agriculture tends to get such a bad rep. We hear about manure lagoons in Iowa and all kinds of terrible things that happen. But as you said, when animals are managed properly, holistically, they can be a real benefit to the landscape.
Absolutely. We're seeing some of our pastures turn around with the impact that our animals have had.
I mean, one of our sort of smaller pastures that's kind of closer to the house, before we bought the farm, one of our neighbors used to hay it, and he would only take a first cut off because there wasn't a second cut to be had. He'd take the first cut, nothing would grow back, so that was it. And that's a pasture that we grazed 5 times last year. And we're seeing a lot of response in our grass and in our pastures to our grazing management, both like the grazing of the beef and the rest, and also the fertility impact from the poultry.
The other thing that keeps us going, I think, is the impact we see in our community. So thanks to a lot of programs that are going on in the area, we're able to reach people across all kinds of income levels. And particularly people who are receiving SNAP benefits, we're able to serve a lot of those folks. And that feels really good that we're bringing these healthy products raised in a sustainable way to all kinds of people, regardless of their income.
So I've interviewed a number of farmers who participate in the CSA model, community-supported agriculture, where people pay up front and then receive a share of vegetables throughout the rest of the year. Seems to be very popular. What are your reasons for stepping away from that model and going towards a farmer's market that may be more volatile?
So there are a lot of things we love about growing for CSA. The connections that we've made with our customers over the years are fantastic. It's really rewarding to bring people out to the farm to get their food. And in a lot of ways, we're really going to miss that model.
Absolutely.
We also have really struggled with growing for that model because you have to raise a really wide range of vegetables, but not in a great quantity. So you have to kind of be good at doing a lot of different things on a small scale. It takes a lot of attention and a lot of planning and a lot of labor. And we're growing our family this year. We're expecting a baby in July.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. And so labor is definitely on our minds, and what we're going to have for our labor force is on our minds. We also really want to be able to take a step back and make sure that we're really doing a good job with all of the things we're doing. So we don't know if this is a long-term, you know, solution or if we're just taking a break from CSA at this point, but it should give us a chance to step back and examine our practices and really make sure that we're doing things in a way that's sustainable for us, for our family, for the land, financially, going forward.
Yeah, and to add to that, I think the other big reason that we are stepping away from the CSA has been our labor struggles in terms of finding the appropriate labor at the appropriate time. And we've had some really fantastic people work for us who we're just so glad to have in our lives. But it became like such an uncertainty that, and we had way too much riding on something that was far too uncertain, that if we didn't find the right person, and at our scale it really is one person, it's not like we're hiring a crew of three or four people and we need most of them to be pretty good. We're hiring a crew of one person who really has to really hit the nail on the head for everything to work. And if that doesn't work, if the person doesn't work out or we don't find the person, the consequence of that was that like our whole year was incredibly stressful and really hard. So by removing the CSA, we reduced a lot of the pressure on that point of our business.
Lightning round. Lightning round question number one, Rose and Thorn. What's your favorite part of farming and what's something about it that you don't really like?
Favorite part, getting food to customers and having them enjoy it. Thing that I don't really like.
Labor? Dealing with labor?
Yeah, absolutely. Managing labor.
I think my rose would be just being able to watch things change and grow over time in the landscape and in the community. And my thorn would be dealing with all the different levels of uncertainty.
Okay, last question. What is your favorite thing that you grow and what's your favorite way to prepare that?
So on the farm, we're really busy and it's hard to plan ahead and sometimes you just don't have the energy to be creative. So taking one of our whole pastured chickens and just throwing it in the oven to roast it is the perfect solution sometimes.
Classic.
It doesn't need anything special, just put it in the oven, it tastes delicious.
Onions, sautéed in butter.
An excellent accompaniment to chicken. Well, Michael and Ashley, thank you so much for joining me. I look forward to visiting your farm at some point in the future. Any last words?
Thanks for talking with us.
Yeah, we really appreciate it. Thank you.
Take care.